complete enlightenment for the benefit of all other sentient beings.
他的心结最多的心结就是你，就是在那满招忙活的，啊，你，家务特别心细的，啊，你，啊，对，出家特别心细，他肯定有的是。And
there are many different ways through which one could cultivate altruism or what we call bodhicitta, sanjujisem. For example, there is a mention of how one could cultivate such an altruistic attitude, in the mode of a shepherd. In other words, that you know, one would like to wish everybody to be in the enlightened state first, and then one would follow them last. You know, sort of that's the shepherd-like attitude. Or there could be like a royal attitude, or the king's attitude, that one would like to be enlightened first and then lead everybody to that state. So the point I'm trying to make here is there are many different ways to cultivate altruistic or bodhicitta.
是当你写的呢，甚至在了背后的那些真因都是假有的是。
If we look in Buddhist literature, there is mention of how we can cultivate bodhicitta in many different ways, as many as what are called 22 different ways. There are 22 examples are given to illustrate different ways of cultivating bodhicitta.
嗯，他第一呢，俺们当当兵当个学不的那些呢。 本来修持大悲心时，当地当地去生产药了吧？是。本来，俺那生计做的做个，俺那当不生计做的，也不是呢。俺那就，俺那等出来，别个就他，咋的，就这样了，真的是呢。俺那让，得不让，得不是也得得有那些个人是。对，哪一个，包括现在这个生计的，俺那，啊，修持大悲心时就是。
So within these 21, what are called examples, illustrative examples for cultivating bodhicitta or altruism, bodhisattva's attitude, we find an example that I just gave you, a shepherd-like. A shepherd is used an example. Shepherd's attitude is used an example here, one of the 22. And that is, what does a shepherd want, or a cowboy, or someone who's looking after animals wants is, they first want to bring the animals home safely, and so make sure that they have enough food to eat and everything is taken care of. And after that, the person, the shepherd or the cowboy, takes rest. So just like that. One could generate bodhicitta, altruism. And here, when we think about Chenrezig, Arya Avalokiteshvara, he has developed bodhicitta of this, as exemplified by this example, that he wanted everybody to be brought to enlightenment first, and then he would like to follow them.
嗯，可能他，你空上级的，他升级上级上了，个人的，第一是他空上级的，都是你，啊，升级能力的。So
in other words, Chenrezig or Arya Avalokiteshvara, the way he has cultivated bodhicitta altruism is that he would like everybody to be brought to the complete enlightened state, and then he would follow them. He would be the last person, if you will. In his way of thinking, he wants to be the last person to become an enlightened being. He wants everybody to go ahead of him or, bring them to the complete enlightened state first.
Jabutabi Sinti, any Ran Jebu, a pe Kosal and Nene, that any Jebu combined to Strong Yarvas, Mantasong, Sonsa, the Ran Jebu Kosal Nene, and then Bantu Debut the Shibu, and she's right, and Nangik, and then that just on the Hedge of Tavata, Yinkazan Sanjitong, that and the Yin Tamalo, Dusin, Jabutabi Sinti, Simsene, Saint Koranzo. mwele sanje ne ti gyeso de sanje sanje salam goya ta ndusi ne semshi na yores.
And then within the 22 illustrative examples to cultivate bodhicitta, we just gave the example just now of how Arya Avalokiteshvara cultivated it, just like a shepherd-like attitude. Now there is what we call the king-like attitude to cultivate bodhicitta. So what do the kings do is they hold the highest status and position, and so then they use their status and position to look after their subjects or people in their kingdom. That's the king's attitude. So in that manner, one could cultivate bodhicitta or altruism. And as a matter of fact, our historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha and all other Buddhas of this, what we call, thousand Buddhas of this fortunate eon, they followed that way, if you will. That is to say that they wanted to become an enlightened person first. They want to be Buddha first, and then they would like to help all other beings to become Buddhas. And so that's more like a king's attitude, that they first want to have that enlightened status and position, then they could use it to help all other beings to reach the same state. So that's another way, another example of how to cultivate bodhicitta.
So
I think normally this is the approach we adopt as we cultivate bodhicitta motivation at the beginning of our teachings and practice, that we cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment, our own enlightenment, in order to help all other sentient beings to reach their enlightened state. So we are, in a sense, cultivating bodhicitta in the manner of a royal attitude or king's attitude.
Daya, Sanje Thanje Sanje Sala, Dubi Sanje Sala, Ngoprasha, Pi Chedo Ninge, Chudugin Samta, Dusin, Sanandig Dubas.
We could think about that. I want to place all other sentient beings in the complete enlightened state, and for that reason, I want to pursue my enlightenment. That comes to the same thing. So basically, we are seeking our enlightenment for the sake of others' enlightenment. So whichever approaches or the ways or the examples that we adopt to cultivate bodhicitta, it is a must that we should cultivate altruism or bodhicitta in order to strive for, in order to accomplish complete enlightened state. There is no other way around it.
Tiba jembe senshi rangyula ma shiba shevi tabdang. Samu doma yudem ma toba tobi che do, tila laba tila tal lo zhongsa yate, tendan dus res.
Often we talk about mind training or thought transformation, lo zhong. We need to train our mind or do the mind training. And what there is really in a nutshell that involves is that we make efforts to cultivate bodhicitta or altruism that we have not yet generated in our mind, and we make efforts to cultivate understanding and realization of emptiness that we have not yet cultivated in our mind. So making efforts to cultivate bodhicitta in our mind and to cultivate realization of emptiness in our mind constitute what we call lojong, mind training or thought transformation.
Lojong se yate ante sem tse kibal ne yate ndegale ne jomba tele lojong tanda ngaranjo lojong kita karisi nere ta lojong tanda changu yamete le.
So if we simply cultivate single-pointed concentration on any given focus or object of meditation, that does not necessarily constitute what are called mind training or lojong, thought transformation. Simply cultivating stability of the mind, single-pointed concentration on a focus or object, does not constitute mind training or lojong practice, thought transformation practice. So now I hope it is clear to you what does lojong or mind training or thought transformation practice constitute. And so when we talk about doing mind training or thought transformation, lojong practice, first thing we have to recognize whose mind we are talking about need to be trained or transformed. It is, as a matter of fact, our own mind, one's own mind, that needs to be trained and transformed. And now, what does that mind training or transformation practice involve? Essentially, it involves cultivating bodhicitta in one's mind, altruism in one's mind, and cultivating the wisdom gone beyond, the wisdom realizing emptiness in one's mind. So cultivating those two things, bodhicitta and wisdom understanding emptiness in our mind, is what lojong practice is in a nutshell all about. As I mentioned earlier, that simply cultivating single-pointed concentration does not constitute lojong practice or mind training practice, because that kind of practice, stability of the mind, is it's also shared by non-Buddhist practitioners, just in the footnote, they're shared by the Hindus.
That current is enough. Sharupala Hine Tonki Mangboyas, Mwiki Yung Guitars. Mwiki Ranjuri Shava Shavani Hine Toguris.
It is recognized that in the non-Buddhist traditions, just in my footnote, we are usually thinking about different Hindu traditions here, in the classical sense. And there are many who have have developed certain clairvoyant powers, and these clairvoyances could only be achieved by developing stability of the mind or single-pointed concentration of the mind. So therefore, these practitioners in non-Buddhist traditions have developed single-pointed concentration and certain clairvoyances. So based on such things, because simply cultivating single-pointed concentration and have certain kind of clairvoyances does not mean a big deal necessarily. And so that's why, often in the Buddhist study and practice, we really don't give much of a credence to just simply having single-pointed concentration and some kind of extrasensory power. We don't consider them a big deal,
Hola, tang ran chama loke, ne shanju ser boche ta, oni to bi khirin bo te, ranju re shevi tap she shiyat, ta ke chem bi chal gores.
So the point I'm trying to make here and drive home in our minds is that for all of us, it is of utmost importance and essential as well to cultivate bodhicitta, altruistic mind of enlightenment, and the wisdom realizing emptiness within our own state of mind. We need to integrate those two things in our mind. In order to cultivate and experience bodhicitta, first what we really need to do is we need to develop a sense of equanimity or balanced state of mind in relation to other beings. So initially we need to make efforts to, I should say, get rid of our biases and cultivate a sense of equanimity or even-mindedness, balanced state of mind in relation to other sentient beings. As we cultivate sense of equanimity, it's not just simply enough to think like, oh, all sentient beings are same. Okay, this is what I'm going to think about. All sentient beings are same and all sentient beings are same. Well, that alone is not enough. We really need to find, you know, good rationale or reasons behind why, I mean, you know, should we think, or why do, I mean, why should we treat all sentient beings as being same?
That thing you just said, you are right, isn't it? When the social any that number ten del singing, social any near the chat and dala downship, condoship, and they by missing it the yard do it here was that is something.
So cultivating a sense of equanimity, we call tangyom in Tibetan, or balanced mind, it really involves a lot of critical and rational thinking. So first we kind of really try to look at our own state of mind and our attitudes. How do we normally treat or react to other people or the beings? Well, what we see is that with regard to people or beings we call our friends, you know, we are biased towards them, that means we are attached to them. Now, with regard to those who we see as our enemies or we don't like, then we, you know, biased towards them in a negative way, which is, you know, we are angry with them or we hate them. Now, with regard to strangers who are neither friends nor enemies, now we have indifferent attitude to them. We don't care what happens to them. See, so those are the attitudinal biases that we normally have in our mind with regard to other people and beings. So now we bring our critical thinking here. Okay, let me look at this someone who I see as my, you know, dear friend. Okay, and that dear friend could be anybody, your, you know, life partner or your, you know, any other regular friend or whatever the case may be. And you say that, okay, I mean, is this the case that my friends always remain friends forever? And this, there's not going to be any change in the friendship, or they're never going to change at all. Is this what the reality is? You know, this is what we need to investigate.
That thing never did. So, sir, I'm told a strong new age is. Mama, I'm pe, kuni, 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 pe, zubu kiva chaya, marma, same kiva chaya, singi, that and day, any, ni, ni, pentade, any, ranga, danjo, and doing the was.
But then as we look at this reality, could it be the case that the friends I really feel so close to myself, they will forever and ever remain my friends? There is not going to be any change. Well, that is not the reality. You know, maybe we ourselves have personal experiences with regard to that, that maybe at one point of time, you know, we were so close to another person, it's just like basically we are two bodies with one mind, as we would say. We're just the one person, it's just we have two physical bodies. But then things change, and now we are no more friends, you know. And so what does that tell us? That friendship is not a fixed entity, it's not permanent. You know, it
changes.
So we ourselves may have personally experienced that, or we have observed other people have experienced that, that someone who is considered as the number one friend, the best and the dearest and the nearest and whatever superlative you could use, friend, well, changes into the number one enemy, the most hated, you know, the most wanted, whatever, you know, superlative now we could use here is the enemy number one here. So, I mean, these things are what we observe, you know, I mean, happen in our own life or in other people's lives.
No, that's not dat pe dat chi wi dat da dai tam ma te ya yu sa ne ni ge nan ta pe ya khu ne bu de ta ta de de yong du was ta ran to la shun ge ge na yong du was.
But then of course, you know, we are not saying that this change always go from like the number one friend to the number one enemy. Well, it could go in the other direction as well, that we might have experienced personally or we have observed in other people's lives, that someone who is considered as the number one, the most hated, you know, maybe our amusement, or the most dodo friend we ever have, now becomes the number one friend, the best friend that we cannot separate at all. See? So things change in either directions.
Ta ti ni bote da ta ni ni bote ta pa me gna ni pa me sen gna shumer zran le ran le tobu krom ya bu chi bjen te ani tambu pa permission spend is intent shumer is ta dagna ta chi bores.
So where do these you know, so-called number one friends and number one enemies come from? You know, now we analyze that. Basically, they both come from what we called strangers. You know, who all started off as neither our friend nor our enemy. So from this, what called the category of people or beings, then we develop friendship with some, and then they pretty soon become our best friends, and we develop disliking towards others, and pretty soon they become the most hated enemies we have. So it is from the strangers that, you know, we develop, we cultivate best friends and, you know, worst enemies.
Saying this data nyi nyi bote, ane parme sengi di shonwa yinba de kandis hako wada se na, rang tambo ma ma yinga ni shi di sa ne, rang da yo amare, nyi yo amare, rang ki bo kanga ta, parme sengi cha strange cha di arwas.
So how do we know that friends and enemies all come from the strangers? It's, you know, when we were born, that moment, we had neither friend nor enemy. You know, I think everybody is like a stranger to us.
So that can listen to Tan Javina, the Dalla Chawasiatan, Mari Dalla Dawasiatan, Nian Chawasiatan, the Tan came to us.
So when we consider these matters, you know, how friendships or animosity could change into something else, then we started to see the meaningless in getting attached to, you know, friends and, being hostile and, hate in enemies, because all these things really do not make much of a sense.
That indeed, the Tanyong Lo Shiva Shepala,
So as we cultivate a sense of equanimity or tangyum, even-mindedness, balanced state of mind, I'm throwing all the terms here, those are basically the three terms that we come across in English, that's the kind of critical thinking we do. And of course it's not easy to cultivate a sense of equanimity just simply doing that kind of thinking or meditation once or twice or a few times. We need to persist and pursue in such meditation until we develop a sense of equanimity in relation to all other sentient beings, including the smallest insects. So when we develop a sense of equanimity, that we are able to see and treat all other sentient beings as just the same or equal, through repeated and consistent meditations, and then at that point of time we could say that, okay, now I experience sense of equanimity in relation to other beings.
Sanje thamje la ta ris ma she pe lo chi she ta ke chimbres.
So the kind of sense of equanimity that we're talking about is that it is extended equally towards all sentient beings without anybody being discriminated against. There's nobody among sentient beings to be left out or to be treated differently. We have to see them and treat them all equally.
Tashi chani tu du sin ran ke gum di re ma to ya ki yente che chu da che ju che ju da tende ge sam tong ja mares.
So when we cultivate sense of equanimity, you know, we adopt certain way of thinking to see all sentient beings as being same or equal, so that we treat them equally. But that does not mean that, you know, we are ignorant of all the differences that exist among sentient beings. So, you know, we don't mean that all sentient beings are equally learned or equally dodos, or all sentient beings are equally rich or equally poor, or all sentient beings are, you know, equally this and equally that. We are not saying that. Those differences do exist, but, you know, that we have to acknowledge. But what we're saying is that despite all these differences, you know, there is certain thing where sentient beings are all same and equal, and we need to see that and treat them, you know, just the same.
Mm. That thing is that and they the that law zone at the that two thousand name when a shallow and those chimping in there, some of the other town and the good was.
So I think that kind of thinking we need to adopt in our everyday life. Doesn't matter where we are, maybe we are hanging outside or we are, you know, you know, on the way to somewhere, but we could still do that kind of thinking.
That same thing, the Suri Shekhi Dona, that Lhasa Suri Shekhi Aklo, Lhasa Shekhi Dona, that Lhasa Kaguris.
So as soon as we see that, you know, we started to discriminate, you know, among sentient beings, then, you know, we just realize that and we try to stop that thing right there.
They told us that, Sengi Thamji Kati Chimba Yimba Nyamba, Sengi Thamji Kati Rana Kati Chimba Yimba, Ta Nyamba Res, the Samtong Res.
And then also as a part of that, we should also think about how all sentient beings have been equally kind to us.
Sonsa Ta, Sengi Thamji Rana Kati Chimba Sonsa, Rangke, the Kati Sayaka Samtong Res.
So if we accept that premise that all sentient beings have been equally kind to us, then what really follows from that is now we need to think about how can we repay the kindness of all sentient beings.
Sanji Devada Shiva Shona Gawagom. Sanji Dunga Tunguduna Kantra and the Dungi Tali Tavi Tava Husambi Tavi Melaminji Jen Tanji Shetu was Shagras.
So, you know, when we see sentient beings, you know, happy and, you know, peaceful and succeed in what they do, then we rejoice, you know, in, you know, all those goodness happening to sentient beings. But when we see sentient beings in misery and suffering, you know, we really develop the concern, care and concern for them and sincerely wish how nice it would be if sentient beings do not have to experience these miseries or are freed from such misery.
I don't care. This is
no. So, I mean, from that perspective, you know, the things we often, you know, say, find ourselves saying or others say that, oh, I don't care about those people or those things. You know, we cannot say that. You know, we do have to care about all people and sentient beings.
Kakile yago suna samba, kakile pe kake majevish, kakile ducha suna samba ta tende ke santo nda ta te ngara pe chami chibu ta ngara so dupa chibu sa gers.
So we cannot adopt the attitudes as Geshe-la was trying to say that, you know, we cherish some people or beings and then we don't care about the others. If we do that, you know, such things, adopt such attitudes, I think by being such discriminatory, you know, we are
creating, you know, negativities.
No. So as we try to cultivate a cherishing attitude towards sentient beings, that means really deep down in our heart, you know, whether you know, we are capable of doing something for sentient beings or not, we truly mean it, that we care for them. And that's what we're talking about. Because, you know, you don't have to feel kind of like, oh, if I cherish all sentient beings, that means I have to do everything for sentient beings, you know. And then you feel kind of so frustrated and so stressed out that, oh my God, now I have to do everything for them. That's what, you know, we are saying, you know, we have to be realistic about our abilities, what we can or cannot do. But in our heart and mind, in terms of attitude, we need to cultivate caring attitude to and for sentient beings.
Yes. That is any to consider same situation that Mandra you have done. That kind of thing, they are not be tangyong sentient tangyong.
So the points I have, you know, made, you know, this morning thus far, is I said that there are many ways to cultivate bodhicitta or altruism in our mind. We talk about as many as 22 illustrative examples, and we talked about two of them, just like a shepherd-like attitude and king-like attitude to cultivate bodhicitta. And before we could all do that, we talk about the need to cultivate a sense of equanimity, balanced state of mind towards all sentient beings. So just as we need to you know, meditate continuously to cultivate bodhicitta, following different approaches of the ways, until we develop bodhicitta in our mind. In the same way, we need to do meditation, you know, to cultivate realization of emptiness, until we realize what emptiness is. So why must we make efforts to realize emptiness? Because emptiness is the ultimate nature of phenomena, everything that exists. And in order to become a Buddha, complete enlightened being, we must get rid of the two types of mental obscuration. Obscuration to nirvana, or delusions, and obscuration to omniscient wisdom. So without a realization of emptiness, the wisdom realizing emptiness, we cannot you know, get rid of our delusions from within our mind. So therefore, it is a must that we cultivate the wisdom gone beyond, or the wisdom realizing emptiness through meditation. In the Buddhist literatures, the wisdom realizing emptiness is metaphorically referred to as the mother of Buddhas of all three times. And bodhicitta is metaphorically referred to as the father of Buddhas of all three times. So just as in order for a child to be brought to the world, there has to be you know, mom and dad, and through their you know, union, one could bring a child into the world. In the same way, to bring the child of enlightenment into the world, so to speak, that we need to have, you know, the father-like bodhicitta and the mother-like wisdom realizing emptiness, through their union or integrated approach, that we could give birth to a child-like complete enlightenment. As part of our regular prayers, chanting before the Sunday teachings, we, you know, chanted one very powerful stanza about the perfection of wisdom, or the wisdom gone beyond, which we say, Masam Jume Shara Parachi, the perfection of wisdom is beyond thought and expressions. and market mingga namgen wojin, it is unproduced and unseeding and just like you know space. So rangbi yishi chuba, it could only be it is the analytical wisdom that you know that sees the truth as it is. I bow down to, prostrate to the mother of all the Buddhas. So as we recite that kind of stanza before our teachings, so as we can understand it, that the wisdom realizing emptiness, wisdom gone beyond, is the mother that gives birth to, you know, all Buddhas.
Yes.
So those are some of the things I thought are very, you know, beneficial to all of us, and so therefore I just shared them.
That because in Tinsen Maji and there isn't that. Devale Dunga Chapan Singures, Gitiba Tanjaki, Niji Deva, the Tubi Deva, the Lelu Deva, the Kuya, the Kazi Deva, the Tinli Shangures, Atanjo Tang Languores. Na dungi dewa ya maris. Ta ngaran zo kyu dungi ke dewa tunzu ke dewa tunzu le sakye ji dewa tunzu le ali karse gure ta dungi tang du lang kibran zing gure iskana.
So going back to where we left off in this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Gautama Geshe's Personal Advices, so we were talking about a couple of weeks ago that you know, we as practitioners need to learn to accept and welcome suffering and, you know, let go, if you will, contaminated kind of pleasures and happiness that the world seeks. Because the worldly, ordinary people, what we really seek is all kinds of worldly pleasures, the pleasures and the happiness that comes from, you know, come from eating good food or eating food, or pleasures comes from sex, pleasures comes from sleeping, pleasures comes from just, you know, hanging out or whatever the case may be. But these are the things, you know, we, you know, should not seek, just let go. But we should be seeking, actually, we should be more welcoming, because the worldly people don't want misery and suffering. That's what they hate. But we should be more accepting of the misery and let go, you know, let go our attachment to the worldly pleasures.
That dungi, kipran zinjuk dungi dha kogurmato ya dungi kanga kipran zinjuk sungu amaris.
So we need to understand what does it mean to cherish suffering. Don't cherish, you know, if I literally translate it, don't cherish the worldly pleasure happiness, but cherish suffering. But we need to know what kind of suffering are we talking about. We really, we don't mean that we cherish every kind of suffering. So cherishing suffering here, or accepting suffering, welcoming suffering, doesn't mean that we cherish the you know, three types of suffering generated by the true causes of suffering. Basically, suffering of suffering, suffering of change, and pervasive suffering. We are not saying that we need to welcome and cherish these three types of suffering.
That's the reason. Ta rang elame kesu jamni kesu shkuni ani dungi shongatunzo tangdalen.
But what kind of suffering are we talking about that we should be willing, you know, willing to accept? Is the kind of hardships and difficulties and pains that we experience in cultivating spirituality or in serving our, you know, our spiritual gurus. If we have to really serve them, you know, physically or so forth, whatever difficulties we face, such difficulties are the ones we should be willing to accept and cherish.
When, Malareba chiranzu kaga hakogurbas. Malareba ke ani lama te mabares. Lama maba ke ani kong le tar malareba le tere sagangkiya jene kong le tocha guyang ke sagangkiya jekubres.
I think that you know, most of you at least have heard something about the great Tibetan yogi Milarepa of the 11th century. And the main guru of the Milarepa was Marpa, the great translator. And what Marpa did was he asked Milarepa, he put Milarepa through so much hardships to build a nine-story a temple of some kind.
That's it. Tambuki then three jokes and then Tambuki and those jokes and he jokes on. And then that to talk with you, I did something in the Lama Zika parents in Sunny. I didn't dream of those new sweet jokes in the West. Yes, yet, Marie said, Yamahiki, Sasami do domis, Sakavan Lang and the pastor, she. Do Kavanako and the Zupado. Sasami do domi pas kesheni pe mahikimi. Those numbers.
So the great Marpa would put Milarepa through great hardships, and he would first tell him, okay, I want you to build a nine-story temple. And so Milarepa would do that, and then he would tell them, once you finish it, you just call me and I want to look at it, whether you did it right or wrong. So Milarepa would build this nine-story temple, and then he would invite his lama, Marpa, to come and see it himself. And then Marpa would say, like, you know, he showed all his unhappiness. He said, who told you to build this kind of a temple? You know, just tear it down. And not only that, you tear it down, but you return the soil to where you brought them and return all the rocks to wherever you brought them. You know, just dismantle it completely and return the soils and the rocks to their original places. So Marpa would, you know, put such a challenge on Milarepa.
Tamutle, those the Tosumkin, those the system that was. I guess and that should be number. Mama told Jenny Chow, my mama say, Tangala, Hong Kong said. To Jay, that is. That if I hear you, does not know.
So I think Marpa gave him such a hard time. He first told him, I mean, he himself told him, okay, I want you to build a triangular shaped, nine-storied building, okay? And then Milarepa did exactly his teacher wanted. Then Marpa came and showed completely frustrated. He said, who told you build such a strange, you know, triangular shaped building? You know, I know that you are such a, you know, you did such a tremendous negativity as a black magician, you know. That's how you build and you kill so many. Now you plan to kill me again in this kind of triangle shaped, like a strange, mysterious, just dismantle it and return the soil and the rocks to the original places.
Do chimbuji ta na khayar se ta ta te ma to yinda kan kona zu yor den na ya chadu zan den de kang chura rang ta zu gi mes te ne zu gi yin se yin na ta do ki yang ke do chimbuji me yang ke den ni rokwa she shus ta tin dik ma res chura pha ya ne pha chi se ta ne je chap ne gu tham ne us ni ya yin ma she a de na yor es ta ma ani kora ge ba pu gen bu ne chu mer de na tan du pe Lameka then dumnity, dunghe,
so, I mean, the story has it that, you know, Marpa, you know, make him, you know, build and, you know, dismantle and build and dismantle this, you know, whole, you know, building nine times. And the first time he told him, for example, as I said, just build a triangle-shaped, you know, building. And he did that, and then he accused him of, like, you know, you want to do black magic on me and kill me? Just destroy it and bring the earth and the rocks to their original places. And then he did that. So then the second time he built it again, just that Marpa wanted. And then he asked him, did you do that all yourself? And the Milarepa said, yes, except for one big rock at the foundation. Somebody helped me. Otherwise, I did it well. He said, no, that doesn't work. You know, now you have to dismantle the whole thing because I told you, you alone should do that. So you got somebody's help, and that's unacceptable. And he had to tear down the whole thing because it's a foundational rock. So like that, he put him through such a great hardship and nine times to rebuild the temple. And went through so much hardships that even physically, I mean, he was wounded very badly, you know, having gone through all the physical hardships, but Mila Rebbe gladly accepted all those challenges and difficulties, and he pursued that. So Mila Rebbe is this kind of a perfect example we have of how, what does it mean to willingly accept the difficulties and challenges that, for example, one's Lama or Guru puts, you know, upon you, and he never, how to say, give up, and he faced the challenges. So that's the kind of accepting what called misery, tumel, suffering that we're talking about.
Yeah, that and then when
when we are doing prostrations, you know, and maybe that is difficult, but we don't give up because it's difficult to do prostration, but we pursue it. So that's the kind of accepting difficulty which we are talking about, you know, challenges and difficulties we face in doing our practice. You know, willingly accepting misery or the suffering here, I shouldn't say misery, suffering, or perhaps pain is a better word here, is that when we try to serve the monastic communities, you know, maybe physically and mentally it becomes very challenging, but we accept those challenges and difficulties happily, and that's what we are talking about here. And another point being mentioned here is, you know, accepting suffering in the case, say, when we practice ethics or morality, I mean, it's not always easy to keep discipline or morality. For example, when we do fasting retreat, nyune practice, what really involves is, you know, certain disciplines which are hard on practitioners, that you might really suffer from hunger, you might suffer from thirst, but you're willing to accept those things as a part of your ethical practice and the purification practice. So when you willingly accept such challenges, you know, it really helps you to purify a lot of your negativities. You know, that's the kind of acceptance of suffering that we are talking about. So in other words, that whatever difficulties and pains and troubles and challenges we find in observing ethics or discipline, we accept them willingly. Like any kind of pains and difficulties we encounter as we get physically, verbally, and mentally involved in creating positive actions, you know, because creating positive actions do not necessarily come handy-dandy or, you know, smooth sailing. A lot of challenges come up. So we face those challenges by knowing that we are creating a lot of positive energy, then that's part of what we say, cherishing suffering here.
Thank you. Any malaria, because let me cut scene, don't get down the long, but there any devotee that so do driver tag your is that thing on your own. What is
in the case of Mila Rebbe, by you know, accepting the challenges and the suffering that he has undergone through you know, teacher Marba's words, so finally he was able to purify, you know, his great negativities, and then he was able to become a highly realized person. So that's what we are talking about.
All right. अरे ता तंदे जिना देवा छिमे दोंगे तंदे के दोंगे ता दंद लाम ना देवा छिमे ती इन जेबे ते देवा छिमे को मत होगी अरे
So the point we're trying to make here is by willingly accepting relatively, how should I say, relatively, not so big difficulties or suffering, then we're able to create a lot of positive energy and purify a lot of negativities. And what we get as an outcome or result at the end is the bliss and happiness of enlightenment. In a general sense, in our everyday life, when we suffer from physical, let's say sicknesses or ailments, or that mentally we have a lot of anguish and anxiety and difficulty, you know, these physical and mental sufferings should be used in a positive way, so that we develop aversion to the misery in samsara. So when we encounter a lot of difficulties and suffering physically or mentally, we should be able to use them in certain positive way that we develop aversion to misery in samsara. Because as we think on these matters, what we see is that because of creating negative karmas, we find ourselves in samsara. Now because we are in samsara, we run into samsaric problems and difficulties. And so if we don't want to suffer any more like this, then what we really needed is we have to get ourselves out of samsara. And part of that getting out is to develop aversion, to be fed up, in a simplest term, with samsara. When we get fed up with samsara because of all the physical and mental anxieties and suffering we go through, then, that serves a greater meaning and a purpose.
That indeed, the bond here, but the other thing is that I'm going to be true. You know, 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 that
So the great master talked about how we should behave contrary to what the ordinary worldly people behave. Instead of cherishing contaminated happiness, we should cherish suffering. And we talked about what does that really suffering mean, and so on. And if we do that, he said, all things will really work out fine at the end. And this is just like, it's all good news. Like the example given is like you go and ask for a divination called Mo. And the divination says that everything is going to be super duper, goes well. Okay, so you're so happy. It's all good news. So just like that, if we practice those four points that he talked about, then all things will go really well. It's going to be all good
news.
So on the other hand, if we don't do those four things, then it's just like having a bad mo or a bad divination. It's just like all the hell breaks loose and there is, nothing good coming out. So we will stop there today, and we want to give you a little more time to enjoy your lunch, and because this afternoon Mr. Tenzin Shodan, who is the North American Tibetan representative in Tibetan Democratic Parliament in India, he will be our speaker, and he will speak at 1:30 this afternoon on crisis in Tibet. And if you do have time or spare time, I would encourage you know, you to come and listen to him.
Honest.
And then I have another announcement, which is next Sunday, I believe it's the 27th, Geshe-la will be giving refuge vows at 11:30. That means basically at the end of the teaching. And so this is for new people who want to commit themselves into Buddhist path as a Buddhist practitioner. So this is very important to do, and others who would like to restore their refuge vows are welcome to do that. So that is next week, Sunday, 11:30. And then I have prayer request here. Prayers are requested for two people who passed away very recently. Vadina Oreko, who passed away on the April 16th, and who is very close to one of our, you know, very old-time students here. And Bob Rollo passed away on the April 17th, one day after Vadina, again very close to one of our students. So prayers are requested for them, and also Michael Inshi Kim, last Thursday was his 49th day, and so we also pray for him as well.
What is the Mary's mother's name?
Vadina Oreko is, okay, I'll say it. Vadina Oreko is the mother of Mary Doran,
okay.
Our Doran. So, and Bob Rollo is the business partner of the Doran, so both people passed away once, you know, close to each other.
Honest. We just got a few names of people who have passed away, but we know there are many more who have passed away around the same time, or and so we want to think about all of them and send our prayers and dedicate our merit for them. You know, not to fall into the bad migrations, but achieve good rebirths through the power of our prayers and through the power of their good karmas. So not only we pray that they be reborn as human beings, but they are able to meet with you know, precious Dharma and come under the care and guidance of qualified masters. And so through their efforts, may they be able to progress on paths towards complete enlightened stage. Jawi yin no bi chobi tin ji shi bi tamba ni su ku se che bi tamba da tu ji ni da mbe mi lu yu wa ta 네 최종 그게 시험 보면 나지 춘디지 잡아는 이선 넘어 봐. 이제 이제 감도 당 이해도 문제인 거 소소다 해니. 굉장히 소소다 매매 흔도 용하죠.
Let's dedicate our collective marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy beings live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May these and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Andorna, Magnesinji Tamji, Adunyisinji Wale Tone, Sanjiji Kumparambuji Tobi Jurjiki.
Last but not least, we dedicate our collective marriage for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration in our minds, and may we all become Buddhas quickly.
Maje bana shijuruji, cheva nyamba me bata, kone kondo pevara, sho kare rabi kurve chingante, penda deva malui jumbene, shire zewa tenze jasoye, shabe sinde badu tenjoje, sahye beje juje, meto tamo reyro lingye nide jembande, Sanje yendo mide vyuwa ye Ndokwe namda kyunla shiva Sho yedam guru rana Mbate laka Yadaya me
Onas Kanjila
Rogan
Tai yu ah
Onas
Chama chun diye be
Again, this is Chamsi Dushung Dogen
Tanda tes ya tes juga marah.
Lah des chat umdung ni.